From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, Governor Cuomo rails against the president's choice for U.S. Supreme Court and urges action on a measure that will protect the right to choose abortion in New York. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on the political implications of President Trump's Supreme Court nominee and will report on the impact of tariffs on paper upstate. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Andrew Cuomo held rallies this week to criticize President Donald Trump's choice for the Supreme Court and urged action on a measure that would protect the right to choose abortion in New York. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports.
Cuomo, in Westchester and on Long Island, continued to urge the Republicans who lead the state Senate to return to the Capitol. He wants them to vote on a measure that would codify the abortion rights in the 1973 Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade and modernize New York's 1970 laws that legalized abortion. Cuomo was among many Democrats who believed that President Trump's choice of Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court could lead to a repeal of the landmark decision.
We do not have a New York State law that provides the protections of Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade goes further than the New York State law, and the New York State law is in the criminal code. That's why we desperately need a New York State law that codifies the Roe v. Wade rights in this state and takes it out of the criminal code.
Cuomo's official events as governor are converging with his re-election campaign efforts. The rallies were staged in key swing voter districts in the New York City suburbs, and he's released a digital campaign ad.
We know what Trump's Supreme Court wants to do. We must fight back. We need to protect reproductive health rights in New York State.
The governor's critics, who include his Democratic primary challenger, Cynthia Nixon, say he has not done enough, though, during his two terms in office to get the Reproductive Health Act passed. Nixon says Cuomo tacitly supported a group of breakaway Democrats known as the Independent Democratic Conference, or IDC. She says those breakaway Democrats helped Republicans remain in control of the Senate for the past eight legislative sessions. If not for that alliance, Nixon says, Democrats could have been in power and the measure would have already become law.
For 8 years, Governor Cuomo has claimed that he was fighting for these bills, but every session and every budget negotiation, he's had the opportunity to do it, and he hasn't. Instead, he has prioritized keeping the IDC and the Republicans in control, knowing that they will never bring these bills up for a vote, and then blaming them for his own failure to lead.
Nixon spoke at a news conference where she endorsed a challenger to one of the Independent Democratic Conference members. The IDC dissolved shortly after the state budget was passed in April and reunited with the rest of the Senate Democrats, but the Democratic Conference still lacks one Senate seat needed to hold the majority. Nixon has released her own video ad, which accuses Cuomo of being disingenuous on the issue.
It is time for Governor Cuomo to stop gaslighting New York's women.
The head of the lobbying arm of Planned Parenthood in New York State, Robin Chappelle Golston, says her group is grateful for Cuomo's efforts. She puts the blame back on the Republicans.
Look, I think there's always more everyone can do, but he's definitely been a champion and spoken up for our issues. I think the Republican majority has been the problem, and we need to change that, and that's why it's so important that people vote in the fall.
Golston's group is nonpartisan. She says they would back Republicans for election to the Senate if they supported the Reproductive Health Act, but she says so far no GOP candidate has done so. A spokeswoman for the Senate Republican says the bill would allow non-doctors to perform abortions and might lessen rights of pregnant women who suffer physical abuse. Though Cuomo is urging the GOP senators to return and vote on the measure, he's stopping short of forcing them to come back by calling a special session of the legislature. He says he can require them to return, but he can't require them to take a vote. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Meanwhile, national groups both for and against the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh are pouring money into ads, and progressive groups saying they could be outspent or embarking on a mass mobilization they believe will prove more fruitful than money. One of the progressive groups is focused on New York. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn explains.
During a press call Tuesday, progressive groups led by NARAL Pro-Choice America discussed their mobilization against Brett Kavanaugh, President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court. Elise Hoag is NARAL president.
Starting today, we are pouring thousands of calls into all 100 Senate offices, and we are up immediately with a six-figure ad buy in Alaska, Maine, Colorado, Nevada, and Texas, urging the Republican senators in those states to oppose Brett Kavanaugh.
Oppose him, says Hoag, to preserve Roe v. Wade and not see abortion criminalized. Brian Fallon is executive director of Demand Justice.
For Demand Justice's part, we were founded 2 months ago to help try to mitigate the long-term spending advantage that the right has had when it comes to these judicial confirmation fights. Judicial Crisis Network, the far-right group that traditionally swoops in whenever there's a judicial vacancy, has already said that they're planning to spend $10 million on television ads to try to pressure our red state Democrats to fall in line and support Trump's nominee.
Fallon says his group has committed $5 million, and the fight against confirming Kavanaugh will be won on the ground via mobilization. The Judicial Crisis Network is launching Confirm Brett Kavanaugh, a $1.4 million ad buy on national cable and digital in Alabama, Indiana, North Dakota, and West Virginia. Again, Hoag.
We do not need to match Judicial Crisis Network dollar for dollar. And the reason we don't need to is because they spend that much money because they don't have the American people on their side. We will spend money on ads, but we will also spend money on mobilization to make sure that the vast majority of American people who want Brett Kavanaugh blocked, who want their senators to do their job, who want abortion to remain safe and legal, who want their health care, and who want this president not to be above the law, have a platform by which to make their voice heard.
Leah Greenberg is co-executive director of Indivisible. Her group is focusing on holding events outside the offices of two Republican senators, Lisa Murkowski in Alaska and Susan Collins in Maine. Meantime, she says there is work in New York.
We're working closely with the Indivisible groups of New York who are pressuring Senator Schumer to hold his caucus together, recognizing that we lost three votes on Gorsuch and we can't lose a single Democratic vote in this time.
Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer spoke during a Democratic press conference Tuesday.
I'm going to fight this nomination with everything I've got. The American people must join us and speak loudly, clearly, and now.
Jeannie Mancini is president of March for Life. She considers Kavanaugh a strong nominee and says her organization will work to assure that he has a fair confirmation process.
What we are hoping for is a judge who will be true to the Constitution. You know, a judge, again, who's not going to legislate from the bench. But what I do not think is up for grabs here is Roe v. Wade. And I think it's fascinating that it's coming down to that. And in my heart of hearts, I think it's a bunch of fear-mongering.
NARAL is coordinating a day of action on Women's Equality Day, August 26th, with rallies across the country.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartalk. Well, Alan, this week the issue which has overtaken the country is President Donald Trump's Supreme Court pick. Brett Kavanaugh, who was, of course, a conservative judge, and virtually every politician in every state reacting to this decision, and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo not left out of the mix. He has railed against the president for this choice, has been holding rallies all week long on the subject, and signed an executive order to help protect the reproductive choice rights of New York's women should a future court overturn the landmark Roe versus Wade decision. He also has called for the Senate to come back to act on the measure that would protect these rights. Your thoughts on the governor's move and the state of the situation in New York?
Well, he's playing it as if he were playing handball, carom off the wall. look, this guy has problems with the progressive parts of the Democratic Party. He's under tremendous attack by his opponents, and we know that he has to do this. So he's going all out. It's an all-out offensive. It's the right thing for him to be doing. This is blue state New York, and he wants to make the point. We know that reproductive rights are incredibly important in this state, and he is not letting that down because we know that the women's vote is going to be very telling in this election. We have Cynthia Nixon, a woman, a gay woman, somebody who is out there and criticizing the governor from the left without fail one day after another. And so this is handmade for him. And as a cunning and shrewd politician, which he is doing what he needs to do. And David, let me just tell you that the state Senate is furious at Cuomo right now because it's quite clear that Cuomo thinks this is the year that the Democrats are going to take over the Senate. In the past, he's always been accused of playing footsie with the Republicans and keeping them in power. Now it's clear that those days are numbered, and they are very angry at him. So when he says, I want the state Senate to come back and pass reproductive rights in New York, that's pretty funny. They're not going to do a thing, he says. They're certainly not going to help him.
Last week, the state controller, Tom DiNapoli, Alan, released a report saying that the budget is now almost $18 billion in debt. And that certainly is a major weight hanging over the governor of the legislature.
That's right. Tom DiNapoli is a man of tremendous integrity. I've often said, and I say it again, that of all the constitutional officers, he is the one. He's the guy who really keeps his head up. He does what's right, despite the fact that he has been bullied and pushed around by the governor, who didn't want him as on the ticket, who's been tough on him all along. Now he says, you know, Governor, it's not that we're in arrears right now, but it's coming. And I am showing that it's going to come. And of course, the governor has got to be fuming, as we know only Andrew Cuomo can, about DiNapoli. But hey, turnabout is fair play. The thing about DiNapoli that is so interesting is he doesn't arbitrarily go after the governor. He makes sure that when it happens, he's in the right. And that's what's happening right now. He says, hey, I'm the auditor. I'm taking a look at the way in which this is going. I am telling you it's not good. And you, Governor, have to pay attention to me right now. This governor has been nothing but cruel to DiNapoli in the past.
Finally, the trials, two of them, continue. One is wrapping up this week. And one retrial, Dean Skelos, the Senate Majority Leader, former, and the Buffalo Billions trial, where Dr. Elaine Calieros of SUNY Poly in Albany, allegedly, in both cases, this continuing issue of pay-to-play, Alan.
It's far from clear to know how either of those trials is going to come out, David. A very interesting replay, a redo in the Dean Skelos trial. He takes the stand, which he didn't do last time. That, of course, allows the prosecutors to ask him anything that they want, which is why you don't do that. But he knows it worked against him because people on juries want to know what the defendant has to say about why something happened. And there is an indication that in some ways he's even turned on his own son, Adam, who after all is the big problem here because it was Skelos who tried to get Adam a job. Adam didn't perform adequately in the job. DeMano got involved in it. So Skelos gets on the stand, and in a remarkable thing, saying, I was just trying to help my kid, parentheses, jurors, you'll understand that. And that's what this was all about. And then he does something that was really extraordinary. He cries on the stand. I would say it was probably a brilliant but Hail Mary strategy on the part of the defense there. The last time it didn't work, they were trying something new. And, you know, I wouldn't be taking bets. If I was a bookie right now, I wouldn't be taking bets on whether Skelos gets off or not. The son, I suspect not. But the father, I think that's a tough one when sitting before the jury. Then, in addition to that one, you mentioned another trial, and that has to do with Elaine Calieros. We know one thing. We know he didn't personally benefit financially from any of the allegations that he fixed the bids. But did he fix the bids? There seems to be proof that he may have done that and that they may have gone to Simonelli, the alleged recipient of this. But it's pretty murky. And again, I wouldn't be taking bets on this one either.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. A move by the Trump administration to place tariffs on Canadian paper products is threatening businesses in the U.S. Democratic Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer recently visited a plant in upstate New York to urge the U.S. Department of Commerce to rethink the proposal in an emerging trade war. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard was there.
The New York Democrat toured Irving Tissue in Washington County. Located in a region known for its forest products industry, the company that manufactures tissue and paper towel products employs 300 workers in Fort Edward. Speaking before a group of employees, Schumer urged the U.S. Commerce Department to investigate Irving in a case that is requiring the company to pay an 11% tax at the U.S.-Canadian border on material it produces at its facilities in Canada.
And I am going to do everything I can to reverse it and reverse it quickly because it relates to creating good-paying jobs here in Fort Edward and in Washington County.
Schumer said four companies were hit with the new tax after two were found to be violating U.S. trade law. Irving, however, did not break the law. Schumer said the tariff will hurt future business.
And they gave me a little chart here to show you how significant it is. Look at this. Look at this. This year, they'll only pay about $18 million in these refunds, but it'll go up to $42 million next year. Now you say, well, you know, if a company makes a mistake, if a company is violating our trade laws, they ought to pay a price. But here's the catch. Irving did nothing wrong.
Co-CEO James Irving invited Schumer to tour the Fort Edward facility after approaching him in Washington.
We're not asking for an outcome here. We're not saying don't give us a duty. All we're saying is look at the facts. If we've done something wrong, that's fine. Assess us. If we haven't, though, don't assess us. But right now, as the senator said, it's like, you know, two fellas robbed a bank and they arrested four people. Two were nowhere near the bank.
Irving said the tax is not impacting any current projects but could threaten growth.
This is a cornerstone operation for our forest products business. It's a key piece of the business. It's making a lot of the tissue products, which uses a lot of pulp. And it's all integrated, or forestry and so on.
J.D. Irving took over the Fort Edward plant from company Kimberly Clark 2 decades ago and has invested about $300 million in the facility. The Commerce Department did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Schumer also addressed General Electric's announcement that it would be sending 500 turbine manufacturing jobs to its facilities overseas after Congress failed to renew funding for the Export-Import Bank. About 200 jobs would have been supported in Schenectady. While the measure to fund the agency has passed in the Senate, the Democrat urged the Republican-controlled House to bring the bill up for a vote.
It's outrageous to hold it up. It's a small group of ideologues who say the government shouldn't be doing this. Well, the German government and the French government, who have Siemens, and all the competitors of GE help their companies and to create good-paying jobs. Why don't we?
Schumer's Democratic colleagues, including Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and Capital Region Congressman Paul Tonko, have also urged reauthorization of the Export-Import Bank. Republican Representatives Chris Gibson and Elise Stefanik have also signed on to legislation that would reauthorize the Export-Import Bank.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. This week marks New York's annual Invasive Species Awareness Week, and this year the focus is on what individuals can do to stop the spread of the plants and animals. Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley has more.
New York's annual Invasive Species Awareness Week begins on Sunday. This year, the focus is on what individuals can do to stop the spread of the plants and animals. The Adirondack Park Invasive Plant Program, which actually coordinates efforts for all forms of invasives, is helping to coordinate Awareness Week efforts in the North Country. Program manager Brendan Quirion says the annual effort has resulted in a cohesive strategy across New York State.
Each one of the various partnerships for regional invasive species management, or PRISMs, and their partners are hosting events and organizing events under this one theme or banner. And this year's theme is what you can do to prevent the spread of invasive species. And, you know, each one of those regional organizations is hosting a variety of trainings and events throughout the week, whether it be, you know, formal conferences, invasive species informational tables. So the cohesiveness around each PRISM, you know, hosting events under that one theme is, I think, what has been the most effective.
The theme focuses on what you can do to stop the spread of invasives, because as Quirion points out, individuals are the most critical component in the fight.
Invasive species just don't show up anywhere and everywhere. They really are transported by people, and they follow where people have been. So by taking these preventative actions, whether it be, you know, cleaning and draining and drying your boat and equipment after each boating or fishing trip, or just cleaning the mud and debris off your boots and equipment after hiking or camping, those are the simple steps that anyone can take to prevent the spread and really avoid impacts and having us need to dedicate resources to control it after the fact.
Lake Champlain Basin Program Technical Associate Ellen Cuyava finds people are becoming better informed and more involved regarding the prevention and control of invasive species.
This personal responsibility of preventing the spread of invasive species is something that people seem to be really getting invested in. And it helps, you know, that many of the steps we use to prevent the spread are relatively simple. You know, we've said clean, drain, dry, and that's, you know, three steps that take 5 minutes when you retrieve your boat. And there are other sort of corresponding steps you can use to prevent terrestrial invaders. I think people are really invested in invasive species and in preserving and protecting their ecosystems.
A new Vermont law requires mandatory boat inspections for invasive species. Vermont Department of Environmental Conservation Aquatic Invasive Species Management Coordinator Josh Mulhollam explains that the law was signed last June, but a full rollout was difficult last year.
This law doesn't appreciably change the work that we've been doing with watercraft inspections. The only difference is now when a boater encounters an open inspection station that is currently, you know, manned by an inspector, then the boater is required to comply with the inspection and any subsequent decontamination recommended by the inspector. But we've had a voluntary program with watercraft inspectors going on in this state since 2002. There are roughly 30 public access launches that are covered by watercraft inspectors, and that's been slowly going up in the last, well, since its inception in 2002. This doesn't change what's been going on, but now boaters do have to comply.
Mulhollam reports that the watercraft inspection program he coordinates asks boaters how much they know about invasive species and if they take precautions to prevent their spread.
According to the data that we've collected over the last couple years, over 90% of boaters are very aware of invasive species. They're very aware of the issues that they cause, and they say that they take steps to prevent their spread. I work pretty closely with partners in New York, DEC, and I know that they've been seeing similar results.
Links for more information are at WAMC.org. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1828, or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.